test. Test. Well, good evening, everyone, and good to see you. Hope you've had a good day today. And this time last week, at the end of service, we had a monsoon outside, and of course, good Lord knew we needed it, and I guess if we need another one, he'll send it, but if not, I'll be fine with that. But so good to be here tonight, midweek service, and good to see everybody, and just good to be here. Good to have the sun shining, and like I said, some good, decent weather to travel in. But anyway, hope everybody enjoyed. And we had a good day on our Monday. We just did nothing and stayed inside and watched baseball and ate hot dogs and dessert tried to relax. And you ever try to just totally relax your mind? If you can do it, it really does a lot for the body. Everything else follows the good physical rest. But anyway, it was a good day. Good day yesterday, good day today. And it's a good day when Jesus is part of the equation. And it doesn't really matter what happens. As long as he's involved, he'll turn the bad good and the good good and gooder. So let's jump right into things tonight. I do have a praise report. Bobby McClendon, as you know, wasn't doing well because of COVID, but Miss Nancy texted me today and said, thank you for all the prayers. Bobby's taking a turn for the better, and all of the coughing has mostly subsided, and so which means he was able to get some sleep last night. Still has a little bit of coughing, but he feels better. He just looks better, and so Nancy's praising the Lord for that. He tested negative, but they, because of how bad he was, they wanted to take a few more days. So good Lord willing, they'll be here on Sunday morning. And so we praise the Lord for that. And I see Miss Catherine's car out here, and I don't see her in here. She's here. She was sick Sunday, so I guess she's doing better, at least able to drive. And so she's better. That's good. Good to hear that. And let's continue to remember the Palmers and their recovery of COVID. A couple more people has it. Friends, not relative to the church, but that I keep hearing about or hearing about, and keep hearing about more cases. But let's just remember those who have it, that they'll have a speedy recovery. Let's continue to remember Gerald Carroll, the passing of his wife, Miss Frances, Mary Ann Sandvy, which is here tonight. Good to see Miss Mary Ann. And y'all sitting so good and close together, I got to pick you out. Who's who? So good to see. You doing okay, Miss Mary Ann? Good, good. And good to have her. And Miss Mary Rich, of course, is trying to recover from her fractured elbow and doing good. Smiles. I all see is smiles. So smiles from her, Miss her. Now, we knew you was here working in the office. But good to have her tonight, and good, glad she's feeling better. Miss C.C. Prestridge, in her health. Again, Loris and Loris Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Good to see Miss Tracy here tonight, Tracy Reese, and I want to say Dorothy. All right. I said Dolores last time, I think. Amen, amen. And I know, a few weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer, you battled with, got COVID. And praise the Lord, that's behind you now. And again, Bobby and Nancy McClendon, they're right here on the prayer list, so run across their names again. Randy and Diane Ely, our children's home. David and Glenda Henderson, Ruby. Okay. She fell. Okay. Okay. I got a message from Miss Claudia Darby, which does a great job. She gave me a phone call and I couldn't answer it, so I was reading sometimes if you have particular phones or whatnot, you can get a message, an audio message, and it can be transferred to script so you can read it. So I was trying to make it out what she was saying. I did see that she wasn't doing good. So thank you for the rest of that, Brother Don. Brother Harold Dolph, James and Shirley, the Dailies. Let's remember Rebecca Ashworth as well, along with Jim Jr. and Don and the rest of the family. Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, Brother Don, Sister Carla, which had a birthday on Monday. So happy birthday again. And happy birthday again to Brother David. And so those two birthdays back to back. And Miss Claudia Darby herself, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Melissa Slagle, James Tolan Brown in the Marines, Peyton Cochran in the Navy, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, which many know Kevin, since school's out for the summer, including college, he's been coming to Calvary. And we have a Youth Sunday coming up, I was talking with Brother Brian, and I didn't realize Kevin would still be here, and so we're going to have Kevin preached that night, and of course, Brother Brian that morning. So that's the 24th, I believe, of this month. So remember that. All right, and then all of our shut-ins, let's remember everyone there. And maybe someone has a prayer request, an update, a praise, something or another you want to make mention of.
Mm-hmm. And she said she was up and around in 10 days, and she was driving 2 weeks. And so the other day, when BJ was over, and I said, that was robotic surgery.
All right. Yeah, bone against bone. Jeez.
And not only that, but I have problems with my feet also. It's called neuromas. And it has to do with the nerves, and they're talking about surgery on that too.
So yes.
If I need it for everything, it's going to be like four surgeries.
Wow, okay. We'll definitely
remember.
We sure will.
It's been a long time taking care of Eddie. I even said to everybody, I said, I don't know how, hurting the way I'm hurting, I don't know how I took care of him.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly remember you in prayer for this upcoming appointment. Let's also remember Brother Richard Martin, you and your wife with... Yes. So I had you down here, brother. I want to get you in there. And Brother Don, you had a knee, was that a knee surgery, hip surgery you had?
I had knee surgery.
Knee surgery. So got a few new knees around here, a couple. And anybody else? Miss Carla?
You remember Christy in your prayers?
Yes, that's right. Monday. Okay. Let's see. Monday's date would be what? 11th. Okay. Pray for Miss Krista and family. Stephen, as he wears his many hats. Anyone else? I hate to say, but the mass shooting on Monday, I believe it was, what, 8 people, somewhere around there that was shot and killed up north, I believe it was. What's that?
Chicago.
And the place it happened was, I believe it was a community called Highland Park. Isn't that the place down in Florida also that was a mass shooting, Highland Park, the school or something like that? Parkland, maybe. Anyway, but they were questioning the shooter, and he said that he actually was planning on having another shooting that day before Highland Park or shortly thereafter. He said, but he didn't have all his details together and planned out as well. You just never know when something like that's going to happen. He had all these guns, and they said that, you know, he was obsessed with the numbers 4 and 7 of some kind of music he listens to. And, of course, you add that up, that's over 8. But he just said that he wanted to find a crowd where a party was happening, and he wanted to shoot at least that amount of people, wanted to kill them. And you see a picture of that guy, he's just... the face of evil, I'll just say. The face of evil. Lost. Was a little old guy. Little old guy, big black hair, skinny, tattoos on the face. I don't know, just the face of evil. Face of evil. Definitely possessed. And, you know, the devil, he is a murderer. And, so let's pray for those precious families, and again, the families in Texas not too long ago where the shooter went into the school and shot and killed all those kids, 2 teachers. Let's remember them. Anybody else? Makes you really sad if you continue to dwell upon it. So we'll just turn it into prayer and pray about it. All right. Well, thanks again for being here tonight. Let's pray for our teachers downstairs and young people, and pray for our service tonight, and we'll pray for all these that we mentioned tonight in prayer. All that would like, you can meet me in the altar, or you could just pray right where you're at. We'll have a time of silent prayer together.
taking a break from the guitar tonight, and I'm going to do Beulah Land with the harmonica.
James 5. It's called Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting, and for a reason, but Wednesday Night Prayer Meeting, Bible study, and we come together midweek to plug in so we won't burn out. And I made a little snippet this afternoon and put that on my story on my Facebook Facebook page. And then someone put a laughing emoji, and then it wasn't meant to be funny, so I just took it down. But anyway, nonetheless, I don't know about you, but Sunday morning was great, but needed the Lord Sunday night and had a time at home with Him. And need Him every day, but you get about midweek through the week, and we need each other, and need to be around you guys in body and in talking about the Lord. So I'm glad we have Wednesday night prayer meetings. I know some churches don't even have that anymore. It's hard to actually imagine some churches not meeting on Wednesday. I know a lot of churches don't meet on Sunday night, and so we're really one of the few that have church on Sunday night. And that's something, of course, we're going to keep, having church on Sunday night. But Wednesday night is just very important. And again, we call it prayer meeting because really we're to come together midweek and share our burdens, bear each other's burdens, have a time of prayer at the altar. I just really, really want us to focus tonight on prayer. In fact, I'm going to talk about the particulars of prayer. And this is just some things that I have gleaned personally from prayer some verses out of the Bible. But ever so often, it's always good to come back around full turn and talk about prayer again. Because prayer and God's Word go hand in hand. And we got to have both. You know that. Talking to the choir tonight, and so you know that reading God's Word is God talking to you, And when you pray, that is you talking to God, and it's a full circle. It's going out, it's coming in, going out, coming in. And so when we have both, then we have the strength we need, we have the direction we need. Not to say there won't be times of uncertainty or dangerous, scary times, but there'll be that deep-seated peace within our hearts and minds and souls, that even if we don't know what's going to be the outcome of any particular situation, we know that we're being guided by the unseen hand. And so tonight I just want to talk about some particulars about prayer. And that's one of those subjects, so just try to stay with me. Prayer is often the last resort to people, not their first move when in need. And I have to confess, there's times where prayer is my last resort. But I don't want it to be. I want to stay on the front end. When everything is fine and dandy, I want to remain disciplined in prayer. The Bible tells us and shows us many of examples about those who prayer is their last resort. I mentioned on Sunday morning, just briefly, but I'll mention again. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter number 8, in verse number 23, we see that the disciples did not pray and seek the Lord until their boat was full of water. And I think about that. You know, what would have happened if they would have prayed intently? What would have happened if they would have, you know, been disciplined in their prayers to the Lord before then? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe their boat may not have gotten full of water. But nonetheless, many times people, they wait to pray when they're in jail. How many people do you know? How many people have you heard about? How many shows on TV? What's the one thing they say? Oh, well, when I went to jail, I found God. And I'm not making fun of those people. We used to have a jail ministry at Floyd Road, and I would go, Brother Buford Howard. And Brother Buford Howard was a blessing. And a lot of those men, I'm convinced, they did turn their life over to the Lord in that dark spot of their life. But a lot of times people, they will pray, they will ask for help during that particular time when they're incarcerated. And two, a lot of people, not to get off on this tangent or follow this rabbit, but a lot of people will say, because I've been to jail and because I was in a hard spot and because I called on God for help during that time, I'm saved. That's not salvation at all. That's just asking God to bail you out, and because of his graciousness and mercy, he did. And so a lot of people, they call on God as their last resort in prayer when they're in jail, when they're behind on mortgage, their rent, payments in general. And, you know, and I'm not minimizing anybody's struggle there with finances. I'm just wonder from time to time how things would be if those particular people, if that's the only time they prayed is when they got behind on bills, what would it be if they prayed before when all the bills were paid and everything was going well? Would anything be different? And so again, we read in Luke, or we see and we know in Luke 8:23, the disciples' boat was filled with water, then they prayed. And so a lot of times it's the last resort is prayer for people. Yet God continues to show us conversation with him or prayer is what keeps us balanced, strong, and certain about life's events. Prayer. Prayer is so unutilized. I'll just say this is kind of a bold statement, but I'll say it anyway. Prayer is so unutilized in the life of the believer, it would be shocking to know how many times a week do we actually pray a heartily unrushed prayer. I wrote this phrase down, and I've said it before. It's not about your prayer life. It's not about quantity, but quality, I believe, when it comes to the Bible. if we're focused on a particular day, well, I have to pray for an hour straight or 30 minutes or something like that, then it's going to turn to a religious exercise. And then when you meet your 5 minutes of prayer, then you're going to feel, oh, success. Or, you know, 10 minutes of prayer, oh, success. And then it just turns, Brother Richard, into a religious exercise. And now we're just trying to meet our religious expectations. When, in all actuality, when Peter stepped on the boat and he started walking on water, and then he seen the winds boisterous, began to sink, he said, what? Lord, save me. And listen, the Lord reached down and he saved them. This is something interesting about that account. I heard someone preaching a message not long ago, and I heard this, and I thought it was interesting. So while we're here, I'll just say it. You know, we don't know how far Peter was when he stepped out of the boat to go to Jesus. I mean, maybe we can look in four Gospels in comparison and find some kind of indication. But we know that when Peter began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. He stretched out his hand, he saved him. The Lord could have been 50 foot away, but he was right there when Peter needed him. The Lord could have been 100 foot. He could have been, you know, up closer, could have been 20 foot away. But he said, Lord, save me. And he stretched forth his hand and he saved him. I thought that was something that spoke to me. And so whatever you want to think about, meditate on that, you can. And come back, we could talk about it. But nonetheless, tonight, prayer is unutilized. And I just wonder, and I take into my own heart the times during a particular day. How many times do I utter a heartily prayer? I mean, a word, a phrase, just consciously, not rushed, with all my heart, utter it to God. How many times do I do that a day? Again, it's not about quantity, but it is about quality. And so I want to get in a better cycle of being disciplined and just talking to God with a good quality conversation, whether it's a word, whether it's a phrase, just all from my whole heart, just even if it's just, Lord, I love you. I really want you to know that. Even when I bless my food, this may seem funny, but, you know, blessing your food has kind of become like, bless this food, Lord, the nourishment of our body, your service. A Sunday at the table over at Monterey's, Bro CJ, he was talking about how, you know, how if they don't say, bless this food to the nourishment for my body to your service, little Charlie, she'll go, uh-uh, nourishment for my body and your service. And so it's funny how that has become part of, and it's true, we ask the Lord to bless this food to be the nourishment of to our bodies and our bodies to your service. But even at that moment, I caught myself the other day just taking for granted a particular meal, you know. And so I just want to slow down and with my whole heart recognize God, return back to our first kind of works, you know, where we absolutely just adored the Lord when we first got saved. Speaking of me, when I first got saved, and everything I did was bathed in prayer. Everything I said, I want to return to those first works. All right, so tonight I want to share with you some verses about prayer, and hopefully it encourages us all to pray more heartily and more often as we're commanded to do. Look here in James chapter 5, verse 13. I want you to notice that prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. James 5 and verse 13, he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Of course, he goes on and he says, verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so I want you to see in verse 13, and really in the flow of these verses, that prayer is the key. In verse 13, prayer is the answer to hardships. Notice what he says. Is any among you afflicted? Now, another word for afflicted here is suffering, evils. Of course, the word afflicted, tormented, any kind of mental anguish, any kind of hardship, mentally, any kind of anything having to do with your body physically. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So what we see just right here on the surface in this verse is that prayer is the answer for hardships. Drugs is not the answer for hardships. How many people do we know? How many stories has to be told about loved ones and friends when, man, they were going to church faithfully and they were doing right and they were honoring the Lord with their life and they just fell upon hard times and they just kept rolling and rolling. These hard times did, and they just turned to alcohol. They had one drink and now they're out of church and they're alcoholics. It happens all the time. Sometimes it's drugs, sometimes it's alcohol. Sometimes it's when hardships come, believers, they relax their efforts on going hard after the Lord with, you know, church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, outreaches and fellowships. They just kind of loosen up those efforts. Well, I'm going through a hard time right now, and I just don't want to see anybody, so I want to stay at home in this isolated place and try to figure out my situation. Well, we all have times where we want to figure out our situation, and that's fine. But just don't stay in isolation. Because the Bible tells us here that, is any among you afflicted? Is any among you suffering, going through hard times? Let him pray. And so prayer is always the answer over taking drugs for our affliction, our hard times. No, we can't quit. No, we can't stop moving. We have to keep going. We have to keep on being responsible with all of our areas of life. And so when hardships come, prayer is the key. We need to pray. And again, prayer is just conversating with the Lord, talking with him, telling him how you feel. And so not only prayer is the answer to hardships, but prayer must start with us. You say, what do you mean? Well, he says, is any among you afflicted? Then he says, let him pray. There are times when people experience things, bring upon their own lives, their own suffering, and then they go to others for prayer about it. There's places in the Bible, in fact, in the book of Acts, we know that Peter was in prison, and we know that the church of God had prayer for him. And finally, an angel came in when he was in between four soldiers and released him. And so that's okay. Peter was taken, he was incarcerated. He was taken into prison. Wasn't doing nothing wrong. He was doing everything right, preaching and sharing Jesus. And yet he was incarcerated, so the church had prayer for him. And so that was the key in his situation, was for there to be an intervening of the church of God on his behalf. But there are times where people dig their own graves. There are times where people, they wreck and they ruin their bodies. Again, I mentioned drugs and alcohol and smoking cigarettes and damaging their lungs and doing things like that. And they lay there in pain and agony. Oh, please pray for me, pray for me. Well, look, we will pray for you, but let him pray. Let that person lay down them cigarettes. Let that person lay down them drugs. Let that person lay down what they're doing, because it's causing them trouble. They're asking for help. Well, let them help themselves. And so we never want to be guilty of enabling someone. Meaning, if someone has some kind of difficulty going on in their life, and we know that they're damaging their life, we need to be careful to encourage them. Yes, we'll pray for you, but this is what you need to do to help your situation, mister. You need to clean yourself up. You need to put those pills down. You need to get in church more. There's a time and place to say things, of course, with certain tones of voices and all the rest of it. But the key to prayer tonight is not only that prayer is the answer to hardships, but prayer must start with us. If is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Let him pray. And let us not be enablers. I think about tonight the lame man by the gate called Beautiful in Acts. We know that Peter and John, at the time of worship, the hour of worship, were going to the temple, and the lame man had his cup out. Maybe he was blind and lame. Anyway, he was broken. Asking for alms. And I'm sure that he got plenty of coins when people passed by. Well, Peter says, "Silver or gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Now, what if Peter would have gave him some change? It would have postponed his healing. If Peter would have gave him some change, gave him a little bit of money, then he would be putting off the inevitable. This man needs to be healed. And if I give him more money, it's not going to heal him. In other words, Peter would have been an enabler, keeping him lame. God, help us not be enablers in people's lives. Help us, first of all, we got to make sure we're right and we're fixed first. And then let us be educators. Let us be people who bring others to Christ and with a heart of love and with a, just a compassionate voice. Say, listen, this is what you're dealing with, okay? You really need to get this out of your life. You really need to go here for help. You really need to do this because you're not hurting anybody but yourself. And of course, after a while, you're hurting everybody around you. And so we see that prayer is the key. Prayer is the answer to hardships. He says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Prayer must start with us. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. And then prayer, I believe, is a prerequisite to singing. He goes from sadness in this verse to singing. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Period. And then he says, is any merry, happy, peaceful in mind and heart? He says, and if this is you, is any merry, let him sing psalms. And so he is contrasting those who are afflicted that need to pray to those who are merry that need to sing. If we're not afflicted, if we're not in a trial, as one man said, we're either going in one, we're coming out of one, or about to go in one. If we are in a moment when we are not afflicted, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us shout his praises. He says, verbally, let him sing psalms. And so we ought to have the Lord's songs upon our lips. I remember when me and Christy first met, I learned very quickly she was a hummer. I thought, my goodness, did she ever stop humming? To be honest with you. But you know, going on 18 years of marriage, there's been some times where she hasn't hummed. And you know what, Brother Richard, I said within myself, I wish she would hum. I wish she would hum. Be at the kitchen washing dishes, going through something. And occasionally I just mute the TV. Couldn't hear no humming. And as before, ball game would be on. I mean, you know. And I could hear that, honey, that's enough. Trying to listen to the Braves game here. You know, she's humming because she's happy. That deep-seated peace within her heart and her soul. And later on in life, I discovered that there's times where she doesn't hum. And those are times where I've prayed, Lord, let her hum again. Let her hum again. Lord, let me contribute to her humming. I ought not to be such a man, or that just continues to bother me. You know, in marriage, there's things that bother each other, but the longer you're married, you grow and you learn to appreciate those things. And you say, what are you saying? What's that got to do with it? Well, the Bible says, is any merry, let him sing psalms. And so I believe that tonight prayer can be the prerequisite to singing. We're afflicted, we're going through hardship, we're struggling, we're in over our head. Let us pray. Let us engage with God. God, you are my song. Lord, you are my joy. Lord, you are my peace. Lord, I don't understand everything I'm going through, but I know that you love me and you saved me and you will guide me from here to heaven. And whatever happens in my life, it's for my good and for your glory. And somewhere in that process, our sadness ought to turn into singing. Paul and Silas at midnight, stripes on their back. I'm not talking about painted stripes. I'm talking about lashings to their back. Someone said one time that Paul prayed because his name starts with P and Silas sang because his name starts with S. I don't know. But they prayed and sang praises to the Lord at midnight, at the darkest hour, when things were dark and they were arrested in that jail cell and around all of the must and mildew and rats and roaches and all of the bad things in those days. You know, they're not housed like they are nowadays where they get television and three meals a day, three hots in a cot and everything else. And the Bible says at midnight they began to pray and sing praises to the Lord. And I believe when it comes to affliction, when it comes to transitioning from sadness to singing, prayer is that key ingredient. It is the centerpiece. It must be, there must be conversation with God. And tonight I said all that to say this, that prayer is the key. Prayer is the prerequisite to singing. And again, you can go down and look through all these verses. There's much more to be said about prayer. The latter part of verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he uses Elias or Elijah. Talks about prayer, so a lot of great things about prayer there. Prayer tonight is the key. A second thing I want to mention about prayer. Not only is it the key, but we're to pray with one eye open. You know that? Pray with one eye open. Matthew 26. You can just listen or you can follow. Matthew 26. We're to pray with one eye open. Verse number 41, Matthew 26, Jesus says, watch and pray. Well, I can either do this two ways. I could either watch with both my eyes open and pray within my heart and my mind, which you can do that like this. It's kind of, and I'm in prayer in my mind, my heart, or I can watch and I can pray. So I can pray one eye open, you know. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all know that, don't we? How weak this flesh is, but how willing the spirit is. And so there's this struggle. And we know that that close inner circle, they've been brought by the Lord into Gethsemane. And the Lord was getting closer to his betrayal of Judas and arrest, and to go on to his chastening and then the cross. Verse 36 says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. The word heavy here, or that phrase, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. It means grieved all around, intensely sad. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not to temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And verse 42, and he went again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. It goes on and talks about the verse 43, the disciples, their eyes were heavy, and they were asleep. Look back, if you would, at verse number 40, where he says, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I cannot help to think about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, because it's typically 1 hour. And listen, I've sat on that side before plenty, and I know it's a struggle, especially if you work, if you've been busy that day, and then come into a nice cool building or a nice warm building in the wintertime, it's hard sometimes. I mean, look, sometimes Bible teaching is all good and good for us, and it's God's Word, but sometimes it's just hard, especially you get in the Old Testament and all that stuff. Sometimes, I don't want to say boring as being disrespectful to God's Word, because it's all good, but it's a struggle. You feel like you're in school sometimes. Well, it is a type of school. But 1 hour, 1 hour is what he says. And so he told them that their flesh is weak, their spirit is indeed willing, so watch and pray. And so I just put pray with one eye open. And, of course, the word watch in verse 41, it means to be vigilant, it means to be sober, it means to be sound in body and spirit. It means not to just be here in body, but be here mentally as well. It's so easy to be here in body and not to be here mentally. And so he tells them, he says, guys, I want you to be there. I want you to pray. I want you to, and the word pray here means supplication. I want you to pray and offer up supplications, but I want you to be vigilant. I want you not just be there in body, but be there mentally. Be present. Watch me for what's about to happen. And according to Bible prophecy in the book of Revelations and where we're at in the church age, if there's any time we need to be praying, one eye open, one eye closed in prayer, watching Jesus, it's now, because he could come back at any moment. And when he comes back, I don't want to be caught sleeping like these. And so I want to be serving, I want to be vigilant, I want to be aware. And so we see about prayer tonight, pray with one eye open. Just basically being vigilant, sober-minded, and continuing to pray. Number three, Psalm 17. We're kind of Bible drilling. Psalm 17, verse number 6, we see prayer goes into the ear of God. And these things help me whenever I'm praying, you know, just to get a visual. Reading some of the words of the psalmist. Look in verse number 1, Psalm 17. Prayer goes to the ear of God. He says, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast, listen to this, tried me and shalt find nothing. Not that he wasn't, not that he was perfect, but that he was confessed up to date. He was repented up to date, had short accounts with God. You shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. And then verse 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Now, tonight we know that the Lord doesn't have to have ears to hear us. He's God. But it just does something about our mortal bodies. It does something about my mortal fleshly being. To reckon God going like this, and I'm going down to pray, and my prayer is going into his ear. That just helps me when I pray. I'm a visual guy. And David talks about the ear of God. And tonight we can have the ear of God. He wants to hear our prayers. And he's eagerly waiting. And so prayer goes into the ear of God. Let's move along. I've got a few more. Psalm 102:17. Of course, I'm sure others would have some different angles of how the Lord spoke to them out of these verses. Spoke to you out of these verses. But this is just to me. Psalm 102, verse 17. Poverty prayers. Poverty prayers. It says, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. The word destitute here means naked or poor. So he says he will regard, and the word regard means to look in that direction. And so I'm taking this as a poverty prayer. Someone who is naked or poor, of course we know that those who are in sin, sin and being destitute of righteousness also is a picture of nakedness. And but at any rate, he will turn his face toward those who are destitute and not despise their prayer. And so that's a blessing to know. For those who are destitute of the righteousness of Jesus and who are not saved, you turn to pray to him, he'll hear your prayer. Those who are destitute of the house and living up under a bridge off of 75, well, he will turn his face toward them if they pray to him. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And, of course, there's a long chapter here to read with that. Now, not only poverty prayer, Psalm 102:17, but Psalm 141:2, I have perfume prayers. You say, what do you mean perfume prayers? Our prayers can be smelled. Psalm 141, look at verse 1, then 2. Psalm 141, verse 1, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Another word for incense is perfume or fumigation. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as perfume, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. How about that? So our prayers can be a good smell in the nostrils of God. Our prayers can. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, as perfume. And who was it in one of the Gospels? Mary. Didn't she break the alabaster box and anoint the feet of Jesus and wipe it with her hair? And it says that the smell filled the house. Same way in the life of the believer, we have a consistent prayer life when we know where our strength and hope and joy lies, and we go towards him to have a closer relationship. Our prayers can become as this. They can give off an incense. All right. Perfume prayers, Psalm 141, verse number 2. But then Luke 18, verse number 1. We have continued prayers. Luke 18, verse 1. Again, a little Bible drill. Listen to this, Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So keep on praying, men and women. Keep on praying. Not to faint, not to get weary, not to lose heart in your prayer. That's hard to do sometimes when there's things we're praying about, to lose heart, to lose the drive in our prayer. There's things that I used to pray about, and I'm not happy about this, that over a period of time, they never happened, and I kind of lost my drive a little bit about that. Now, that could either be, well, I've lost my drive, I haven't continued in prayer about this like I should, or God has lifted the burden. So it can go either way, really, if you think about it. Sometimes God will lift the burden, and you lose your drive to pray. But we ought to continue to pray and not to faint. He goes down and gives this parable. I love this parable. In verse number 2, quickly, let's run through this. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God. That's important. That's an important phrase there. Neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So this unjust judge, who feared not God and did not care about man, said, you know what? This widow, she keeps on banging on my door. I need help. I need help. Now, if I don't answer that door, she's going to keep on every day. Hey, 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 I need help, mister. Open up. I need help. And he says, I don't fear God. I don't care about God. I don't care about man. But I know this, I'll never get no sleep if I don't answer that door. So what does he do? Well, it says, you pretty much draw your own conclusions. Verse number 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. He said what he's going to do. He's going to answer the door. Lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Just on the surface level here, if there's an unjust judge who will answer the door to somebody he don't care about and a God he doesn't honor or love, just because she's getting on his nerves, he will answer that door. The Bible says, hear what the unjust judge saith. And now, we have a God who loves us. And if this widow troubled this judge who was unjust and he answered her knock, much more would God answer our knocking if we keep on coming to him in his own time, of course. You can finish out the chapter and you can get more in depth with that, but that was just on the surface level. Continue praying. Continue prayers. And then lastly, I meant to mention this back in Psalms, but I'll turn back there. You can follow me if you like. But Psalm 56:8. This is Christie's, I would say, favorite psalm. One of mine, Psalm 56:8. It says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle, are they not in thy book? How about that? There's times where it's just tears. You pray and you pray and you pray until you don't have anything. You can't find words to say anymore. And then you just cry about it. And you cry and you cry. The Holy Spirit knows what you're trying to say. Of course, he interprets it to God. But according to this psalm here, our tears, as David says, our tears are bottled. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Are they not recorded? The times when, Brother Don, Miss Carla, y'all are here, I use y'all, over there in Peru, and we don't know every single thing that y'all deal with over there. We get the highlights and some personal conversations, but I'm sure there's times where there's some tears trying to get things accomplished. My goodness, going through the Amazon and all that, and then Bibles and trailers and building churches and establishing pastors and all. I'm sure there were times where some tears, and you know what? God has record of those tears. Miss Catherine, God has record of your tears, the struggles you have in your life and have had, you and Ceylon. Brother Don, Miss Yvonne, all of us tonight, all of us. Miss Tracy, Every time you get that head pain, God knows about it. He writes it down. Every time I have that situation that rises up in my heart and my mind that brings tears in my eyes that I just don't have words to say anymore because I've said all I can say and it's still going on, and I cry about it because my soul is crushed with it, God knows about it. The picture here is he bottles our tears in a bottle, but realistically, they're in a book. They're in a book. I don't know if I get there and say, hey, son, here's a bottle with all your liquid tears. I think the truth of the text here is that he just knows. He knows. He hasn't recorded all those times. All those times. The time when Abraham got ahead of God, and him and Hagar had Ishmael. And then we know that Sarah rushed against Hagar, I believe it was. Anyway, Hagar took off running into the wilderness, and she was crying. And God visited her at that particular time in the wilderness when she was crying. In fact, she named him. She gave him a name, I think it was, I ain't going to try to pronounce it. Leah Romai or something along those lines. The God who seest me and hears me when I cry. She was crying. God sees our tears when we cry. And so the thing about prayer is that God collects our tears in a bottle. We ought to continue to pray. Our prayers has a smell to them. There's poverty prayers. There's prayers. Our prayers goes into God's ear. We ought to pray with one eye open. And prayer is the key. Just some particulars tonight about prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you. And Lord, again, how good it is just from time to time to make a full turn back to these simple subjects about prayer, to be reminded. The visuals they give, Lord, is needful for me. And I hope that they were helpful for the church tonight, Lord. Just, again, these truths that are right on the surface in your word, I pray that we will take heed to them. And Lord, that we would just be children of God who pray heartily. Doesn't matter how long, it just matters about the detail. We love you tonight, and we praise you for who you are and for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anything, you're welcome. Anything to mention before we conclude? All right. Class is dismissed. Thank you for coming.